You're listening to a podcast from Grace Church in Salado, Texas. For more information and resources just like this, visit us online at gracesalado.com.
Now you too, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as then, the child born as a result of the flesh persecuted the one born as a result of the Spirit, so also now. But what does the Scripture say? Drive out the slave and her son, for the son of the slave will never be a co-heir with the son of the free woman. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of a slave, but of the free woman. For freedom, Christ set us free. Stand firm then, and don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. This is the word of the Lord.
It's indeed the word of the Lord. It's a good word for us. If you're just joining us, we have been walking through this letter that Paul wrote to the Galatians. It's a deep letter. It's a hard letter, especially if you're a Galatian believer, to receive this word from Paul. Unlike all the other letters from Paul, we do not see a lot of niceties. We don't see a lot of, oh, I love you, I'm for you, all this kind of. We see Paul directly coming to them with some really difficult questions. What has happened is these believers once believed, they were Gentile, they were non-Jews, and so the gospel had come to them. They believed it, they accepted it, they were baptized into Christ, and Paul leaves and others leave, and there's sort of this leadership vacuum there, and these false teachers come up. And they say, man, that is great. We applaud that you now know the good news about Jesus. However, there's more you still must do to be like us. These Judaizers, these Jewish people, these have come up and said, you need the law. You need to practice the law. You need to make sure you do all the law. And you need the ceremony of circumcision. And until you do that, no matter what you claim with your mouth, no matter what you sing, no matter what you do, you're never going to be fully, completely free. So this is a problem for the Galatian people. They don't know what to do. They have this identity crisis. And so last week we began to look at how Paul addressed their identity. Are you going to be a slave? Are you going to follow the slave of the world, a slave of the law? Or are you going to accept your identity and what Christ proclaimed you to be? And it's free. He's saying you don't need that stuff. So last week was sort of a build-up to chapter 5, verse 1, which is what Dave read today. See, we have this desire to belong to something, to someone. And this craving that we have is this desire that we could connect with somebody that would reaffirm who we are, right? We want to be a part of this team, this club, this party, this country, this, whatever, so that we can be reaffirmed in who we are, so that we can have this sense of security within us. And so Paul sees the Galatians are struggling with this, saying you were once outside, now you've been brought in, and now you're questioning everything. Why? Why are you questioning we do this? Because I believe we battle and struggle with what it means to be truly free. Truly free. Truly letting go of what was behind and striving forward to what is ahead. And so in this text today, we're going to look at two major implications that we see from this brief text. And basically two sort of questions we're going to ask and answer today, and that is, what does true or full or complete freedom look like? What does it mean to be fully free? And the second thing we're going to ask is, how did we become free, or who is it that has made us free? Is it people, religion, an institution, or is it Christ? So let's look at this today. I want to pray once more, then we're going to dive in. Lord, help us, free us, give us ears to hear what you want to say to us. Thank you for this word. In Jesus' name, amen. What do we mean by freedom? Paul says, for freedom, Christ set us free. What could this mean? What does it mean? What comes to our mind when we think about this? Well, let's first sort of rule out what it does not mean, okay? I think that's important. So many times we take the risk of being ignorant to what freedom in Christ means. It has become common amongst every age, amongst every generation. It's not just this generation. We see it in every generation that there is this sort of identity of being free in Christ, giving us then this license to go do things that we should not do. So what does this not mean? Well, we want to know for sure, we want to believe for sure that this, what Paul is not saying is that just because you've been forgiven, Jesus' blood covered your sins, and I say this all the time, he covered all your past sins, and he's covered all your future sins, so be free. But what that doesn't mean is that we should now go and do whatever we want to do. We should follow every whim. We should just go after our own sort of whatever our flesh causes us to do, and just know, hey, well, it's covered. I'm covered. Have you struggled with it? Have you done this before? Have you faced temptation on the screen monitor? Have you faced temptation in the workplace or within your marriage to act a certain way or to do a certain thing? And you go, well, this temptation's so fierce. It's so hard. But you know what? I'm covered. I'm all right. I'm go ahead and go in. I'm free in Christ. Obviously, that's not what Paul's saying. The other thing we need to understand is that freedom in Christ is not saying we can do away with all the commands and all the law. This is New Testament stuff, right? Like, this is Jesus stuff. This is red letter Jesus freedom stuff. So we don't need the old covenant, Old Testament stuff. And we may not say that all the time out loud, but we kind of feel that sometimes, right? We don't need all the stuff from the law. Well, let me give you a few passages that remind us, oh, how we need the rules, the precepts of God. This passage has saved my life in many ways. Not saved, not given me salvation, but has kept me from destruction. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. The question is this: how can a young man keep his way pure? I mean, isn't that what Paul's saying there? For freedom, Christ has set you free. So stand firm. Don't submit. So how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping your word. I've sought you with all my heart. Don't let me wander away from your commands. I've treasured your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. So you can see here, even in this text, there is a devotion to understanding the rules of God, the commands of God, and going through with it. And I know what you're thinking, maybe. Jason, Psalms, where is that? Old Testament? Didn't Jesus come to free us from the Old Testament? Absolutely not, because he wrote to Timothy. Paul wrote to Timothy in the New Testament. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who calls on the name of the Lord turn away from wickedness. Turn away from things that are not right with God. And we don't even have to look much further than this very verse in chapter 5. For freedom, Christ set us free. That's good news. That's a promise. And then right behind that is a what? Is a command. Whenever you see the promises of God, usually there's a command coming with that. Here's the promise. Here's what I declare you. Here's what you are. And oh, to make sure you experience that joy, here's a way you live it out. For freedom, Christ set us free. Stand firm then. Don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. And then we get into verse 2 and on. Come back next week and you learn more about what happens if we reject the freedom of Christ. So we see here that freedom in Christ does not mean that we ignore the commands of God. It means we embrace them through the promise of Christ. I know that's heavy. I know that's deep. We're going to look to explain that a little more right now. What does full freedom look like? This is a definition that I came across a couple weeks ago. It sounds heavy, it sounds deep, but we're going to provide an illustration to help it make sense, okay? You're like, Sunday morning, time change, things are off today, Jason, quit being so deep. But here's the definition of full freedom, complete freedom. Full, complete freedom is what you have when you possess the opportunity, you possess the ability, and you possess the desire to do what will make you happy for 1,000 years. Or to make it even more simpler, to do what will make you happy in the future, not just right now. Full freedom is to possess the opportunity, the ability, and the desire to do what's going to bring you the most joy in your life. So let's look at those one at a time. There's components to this definition of what true freedom is. There's the freedom of opportunity to do what you need to do. The freedom of opportunity. There's the freedom of ability to do what you can do and you know you should do. And then there's the freedom of desire. What does all this mean? Well, before I give you the illustration, let's look in the book of Titus. Paul actually says these very things. This is what the grace of God brings to us. The grace, free grace, does for us. Verse 11 of chapter 2, Paul tells young Titus, and he says it this way. I love this verse. This verse is for all of us who really can't do it on our own. Anybody here like that? I heard about three of you, so that's good. Rest of you, I can learn from you, I guess. So, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared to Gentile people, not a part of the Jewish race. That is profound. The grace of God has crossed over. The grace of God has even come to you. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. What does that talk about? You now have the opportunity. There's freedom of opportunity even for you. Verse 12, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godlessness, and worldly lust, and to live in a sensible, righteous and godly way in the present age. I want to live the right way. I want to do the right things. I don't have the ability to do that. Well, the grace of God's first come to give you the opportunity, and the grace of God has also come to give you the ability to teach you, to train you, to show you this is how you do this. There's more. Verse 13, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, verse 14, he gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for himself a people for his own possession. What's the next phrase? Eager to do good works. Your translation may say, zealous to do what is right. We can translate that, having the desire to go forward with God. In this text, Paul's saying the grace of God has freed you, given you the opportunity, has freed you, given you the ability, has freed you, even giving you the desire that you don't have. Oh, that we would have people have momentum that are driven by the same shared zeal and desire. So here's an illustration to help unpack this. Suppose, this is not my illustration. I didn't come up with this. I'm stealing this. This is a really good illustration. There's no way to have a better illustration. I just think this is a good one. Suppose you want to go skydiving. Maybe some of you do this often. And you want to be known as a skydiver. I want this. I want to be a skydiver. Well, there's several things that must take place for you to be a free, unencumbered skydiver, right? First of all, you need the opportunity to do it, because naturally in this room with what we have right now, nobody's gravity's kind of a problem, right? So you need the opportunity to jump out of something to skydive. We need the ability, we need to know how to do it, and we need the desire to do it. So suppose you make up your mind, on this date, I'm going to go jump out of a plane, a good plane. And so you have the plans, you got it scheduled, and on the way to the airstrip, something happens to your car. Maybe there's a flood, or maybe you hit a pothole, and all of a sudden now you are unable to get to the place where you need to get to jump out of the plane to be a skydiver. You have just lost the freedom of opportunity. You don't even have the opportunity to be jumping out of a plane, right? So the freedom of opportunity is important if you want to be a skydiver. Like, I got to have the opportunity. I got to get myself from here to there. And so if something happens to you, you've lost that opportunity. But let's say you have the opportunity. Your car makes it there. You get to the airstrip. You show up. You're there. And then all of a sudden you realize, I have no clue what I'm doing. Opportunity's here. I'm right here. The pilot's right there. He's got the parachute, and he's looking at me in a creepy way. And he's like, let's go. And you're like, I don't know what that cord does and that cord does and when to do it and how to fall and what are these goggles for. You need to be trained, right? You're lacking the freedom of ability. You got the opportunity. You're there. But you need to be trained. And so you go through a class. You're getting trained, and you're doing all this. And you say, wait a minute, Jason, you can get trained online. Okay, you still need that freedom to be able to do something. You still need the opportunity to make it happen. But let's say you're like the average person. You got the opportunity, you're there. Ability, you've been trained. Okay, this cord does this. I got to do it at this point. Whenever they tap on my shoulder, I got to pull this. I got to make sure goggles here and helmet's there. I'm trained. I got the ability. I'm free. With the opportunity, I'm free with the ability, and you're up there, and you're looking down, you see Fort Hood over here, and you see Baylor Scott and White down here, and you're like, all of a sudden, you have no desire to jump out of a perfectly good airplane. And all of a sudden, you're not free to jump out the window. Opportunity's there, ability's there, but you're not fully free. You've got the freedom to act, but you don't have the freedom inside you pushing you out the door. You say, Jason, but wait a minute. What if I jump, even though I don't want to jump? Well, it's not your freedom that's forcing you to jump. It's you being enslaved to something else that's making you jump. Maybe you're in the plane and you're like, okay, the opportunity's here, the ability's here, and now I'm just going to be a laughingstock if I don't jump. And so now it's not your drive and desire causing you to jump. You're not fully free. You just don't want to embarrass yourself. You get back down, they're like, I didn't see you, Jason. Come down. What's going on? Yeah, I chickened out. So you're not freely jumping. You're jumping because you don't want to be ashamed. Or maybe you're like, okay, I really want to impress this girl, or I want to impress this guy. I want to make sure I don't waste my money, or whatever the reason is. It's not freedom launching you. It's guilt. It's pressure from somewhere outside of you making you get up to that window and launch. It might be a commander saying, it's your time. You don't jump. I'm shooting you. I mean, whatever the reason. To be fully free, to be a fully free skydiver, we must have the freedom of opportunity. We've got to have access to it. We must have the freedom of ability. We've got to get trained knowing what to do, and we must have the freedom of desire to jump. Now let's think about this. Here's the reality. So many of us live our religious lives probably having the freedom of opportunity. I mean, there's a church on every corner. Opportunities here. I can go hear it. It's available. I got the freedom to go in this country, wherever I want to go, worship however I want to worship. Maybe you're given the freedom of ability, like, yeah, I go to this church or that church, whatever church I go to, and they're going to read from the Bible. They're going to sing about Jesus. Yeah, I know about Jesus. I've heard about Jesus. I get it. I go to Christmas. I go to Easter. The ability's there. I've got it. I've got the know-how to get there. But we don't really launch for Christ freely. Something's pressuring us to Jesus. Maybe it's our parents. Maybe it's some other pressure. Maybe we don't want to feel guilty. Maybe it's social concerns like, okay, to fit in at the job, I got to make sure I'm connected at the church. Or to look good over here with these people, I got to make sure I at least attend church and say that I'm a Christian. I got to make sure my Twitter handle says this and my Instagram shows this. Because people are looking. I want them to make sure that I look good. You're not free. There's not much difference between you and the person Jesus encountered called the rich young ruler. You know the story? This well-to-do guy, well-known in the neighborhood, shows up. Jesus is his teacher. I want to know what I got to do to be saved. Translation, I want to know how to be fully free. I want to know everything you're requiring. I want to know everything expected of me. And Jesus says, okay, you know the law. You got to follow this. You got to do this. And you got to, and he says, oh, I got the opportunity. I have that ability. And Jesus says, okay, one thing you lack. You remember? Go sell everything you have. Go get rid of everything you have. Translation, the things that you love, trade that in and follow me. It said the rich young ruler went away sad. The rich young ruler went away not fully free. Ability there, opportunities there, but no desire to jump out the window. We do this. What is tangling you up? Let me ask you this. Are you completely free? Like, I got the opportunity, got the ability, but is there something in you that's burning with desire to follow Christ? This is what it means to be fully free. When Paul says to the Galatians, for freedom Christ has set you free, stand firm. He's saying to them, you have not been standing firm in your freedom. These people have come and tricked you, and it shows, Galatians, you're still after approval from people. You're still after, you want to connect to the old ways. You're not really free. This is important for us. In chapter 1, verse 6, Paul tells them, I'm so amazed that you are so quickly turning away from him who called you by grace. You're turning to a different gospel. You're not free. You've been forced into something. You're struggling with this. So the implications of chapter 5, verse 1, Paul saying, it is for freedom Christ has set you free. Do you know that you and your family and you are fully free? It's a good question to ask. Where do we find this freedom? How do we get this freedom? How do we obtain this freedom? Well, we see the answer in verse 1 of chapter 5 also. For freedom, Christ has set us free. This freedom that we have is in Christ. It is because of Christ. He did it. He, not us, he proclaims it. He calls us to it. He is the one that sets us free. The first thing Paul wants us to know, wants them to know, and we should pay attention to is Galatians. Quit listening to what other people are saying about you. Quit trying to earn favor from them. Find your hope in what Christ has already declared you to be. Free. Freedom is found not in our work, not in our ceremonies, not in our traditions, not in our actions, not in our denomination, not in our country. Christ made us free. Listen to Jesus' own words in John chapter 8, verse 30. As he was saying these things, Jesus was saying these things, many believed him. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. There's another argument for the word and the freedom coming together. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Verse 33, we are descendants of Abraham, they said, answered him, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free. Do you hear the indictment of Jewish people questioning the Son of God? How can you say we shall be free? Jesus responded, truly, I tell you, everyone who commits to sin is a slave to sin. A slave does not remain in the household forever, but a son does remain forever. So, verse 36, if the Son sets you free, you really will be free. Your translation may say, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. You are free to the fullest. I want to expound on this just for a second. Who do people say that you are? If Christ has declared you free, that is enough. This is the King of Kings. This is the Son of God. This is higher than any coach, higher than any principal, higher than any boss, higher than any person within your family hierarchy. Who Jesus declares you to be is who you are. This is why Martin Luther posted the 95 Theses. Never shall a man make rules for me, changing my identity in Christ. Christ alone is the one who sets us free. In a sense, what Jesus is telling the Jewish people here and what Paul is saying to the Galatian Gentile people is, whoever it is that's talking against Christ, they're talking against what Christ declared you to be, and that's to be free. Christ did it. What does full freedom look like? The freedom of opportunity, the freedom to be able to follow Christ, which He has provided, which He has given us, and the freedom of desire. You say, Jason, sometimes I lack that desire, that passion. How do I know then, sitting right here in 2018, if I'm truly free? How can I identify with that person who wants to jump out of the window? Because that's crazy stuff. Well, here's how you can know whether or not you're free and whether or not you should stop listening to these people or these people. We just want to unpack this a little bit for you. You can know if you're free in Christ by answering the way you answer these following questions. First of all, do you acknowledge with your mouth, Jesus Christ saved me? Or do you add something to it? Do you add to it something, Jesus Christ saved me, and then I went and did this, and that's what really did it. Jesus Christ saved me. What was the Galatians were dealing with is Jesus Christ saved me, and so now I got to go be circumcised, and now then I'll be fully free. No, how do you answer the question? Can you answer it this way? Can you say it simply? Yes, Jesus is better. He saved me. He did everything that needed to happen for me to be saved. Another way we can ask this and know whether or not we are free is, let me ask you, are you ever persecuted because of the statement that Jesus saved you? Let's look back at our main text here. We see in this Galatians text, you know, David read from 28 through 5. And we see a very important text here in verse 29, where he says, but just as then the child born as a result of the flesh, again, that was last week, persecuted the one born as a result of the Spirit, so also now. What does it mean? Have you ever noticed that the more desire you have for Christ, the more desire you have to jump out of the window, there's always seems to be somebody there saying, you crazy. That's a perfectly good plane. What are you doing? It seems like the more I have this growing love for Christ, there's something I read, or there's something on the TV, or maybe even it's another, in my field, another pastor saying, what are you doing? That's bananas. God would never call you to do that. It's a little persecution coming. It's a little, Jason, calm, slow your roll a little bit. Get the jets, calm down. God wouldn't want us to be that crazy for Him. Yes, He would. Do you ever find yourself coming under persecution because you say, Jesus saved my soul? Do people judge you, say, no, Jesus isn't the only way? How dare you talk like that? How dare you bring that into this conversation? That's a form of persecution. That's what's happening to the Galatians. That's what happens to us. Do we profess Christ as our Lord and Savior? Are we ever persecuted? Those are kind of tests whether or not we're really desiring God. And let me ask you this. Do you notice real spiritual fruit in your life? Spiritual fruit? Yeah, people call me fruity all the time. What are you talking about? No. For those of you who have endured the study of Galatians, it's about to take off. We're about to get into Galatians 5 and 6, and we're going to see Paul talk about the Spirit of God and what that does for the church. It's awesome. But there's this text down in verse 22 of chapter 5. If you're wondering if you're truly free, if you're wondering if you have the opportunity, ability, and the desire and you're following Christ, then you're going to see these things in your life. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, patience, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Jason, that doesn't sound free. Sounds like a lot of rules. No, it's not you aiming to do those things. It's fruit. What happens if an apple tree is healthy and free? It produces what? No, not just fruit. Apples. You're not going to see grapes on a fruit tree, on an apple tree. So you look at the apple tree and go, that's an apple tree. Look at all those apples. That thing's free. There's nothing encumbering it. It's got the ability, the opportunity, and boy, is it producing good apples. Same thing with us. If we are seeing a growing patience, growing kindness, growing goodness, if we're seeing more discipline in our life, do you see more of that in your life this year than you did last year? That's good. It means God's working in your life. The other way we can gauge whether or not we are free or not is, do we fellowship with others, and are we affirmed in our freedom by my church family? If you want to know if you are jumping out of the plane freely, ask somebody in your community group. And just go to community group and just sit there and go, you know what? What Jason said the other day, I've struggled with. I don't really know if I'm fully free. And hopefully you'll got a group that will pray with you, that will talk with you, that will encourage you. And maybe you'll have a group, if they see this in you, and say, oh, no, I've seen life change in you. In fact, you challenge me. You've encouraged me. I've seen more patience, more kindness, more gentleness. Are you being affirmed within your church? You can meet with me, but I don't know you that well. I can look for it. But get with people you know. Have them affirm this. The other ways we do this in the church is something so important. We have two sacraments, major sacraments in our church, and one is believer's baptism. The other is what we're going to do today is the Lord's Supper. Let me ask you, have you ever been baptized? I want to be careful here. Baptism doesn't save us, just like circumcision doesn't save them. It's an identity marker. The Jews believed if we're going to be right with God, we're going to be related with God, then we have to show our identity with God by being one with everybody else, and that's circumcision. And what happened in the New Testament is Jesus came, saved us, says you need to repent. You need to be declared free by Christ and be identified with Him in baptism. It's an identity marker. So some of you have not fully jumped out the window because you're like, that's weird. Water getting wet in front of people. I'm an ugly wet person. I don't want to do it. So you're lacking the desire to go through. Are you willing to understand that what baptism represents is there was once a dead man. Dead. Not free. No opportunity. No ability. Definitely no desire. But Christ came, saved this man. This man chose to die. and to be raised again out of the water, out of the grave, to walk a new life, jumping out the window. Have you been baptized? Next week, we're going to baptize someone. Maybe you want to join that list, and we have some time to baptize people. The other thing we do is what we're going to do today. In a minute, some men are going to walk down the aisle. They're going to hand you some elements. In fact, I want our deacons to go ahead and get in place and start preparing that. If this is foreign to you, the reason why we do this is so that we can be reminded habitually of Christ giving his life, which represents the bread. He gave his life for me. He was perfect. I am not. I had no opportunity. He came to give me the opportunity. And then he shed his blood, and the juice represents the blood of Christ that covered our sins, that forgave us, giving us the ability to have access to the Father. So when you take this, it's as if you're receiving Christ. You're affirming, yes, I still want to follow Christ. Let me warn you. If you know of the opportunity, you know of the ability, but you really don't want to follow him, do not participate in the Lord's Supper. Do not take these elements haphazardly. This is you saying, let's get to the window. I'm following him. Jesus in John 6 talks about, if you want to follow me, you will eat of my body. You think it's weird what we're doing now. Imagine hearing it from the person still walking with us. You want to be fully free. Get up to the window. As the elements come, you're going to take the cups apart and you're going to say, yes, the body of Christ gave me the opportunity. Yes, the blood of Christ gives me the ability. And then here's the last thing we do for true freedom. We ask the Father for it. Oh God, by faith, I'm in this airplane. By faith, God, give me the desire every day of my life to follow you. Have you read the Psalms? Do you not hear the psalmist repeatedly crying out, oh God, I want you. Oh God, I'm struggling here. Oh God, I want you. Oh God, I'm struggling here. Paul did the same thing. Your pastor does the same thing. Every day, especially Mondays and Thursdays, for some reason, I wake up and I grip my Bible and I say, God, I don't sometimes have the desire, but I know by faith that in you I've been declared free. Help me on this day live in that freedom. Maybe that's the prayer you pray right now. Let's pray. Go to the Lord. Father, as we bow, as we sort of display this sign of humility physically, we come asking for full freedom, Lord. We ask that you would speak louder than the enemies in our soul, that we ask that you would speak loudly and clearly that we are free in Christ. Would you, Lord, help us to celebrate what it means to be truly free, to be free indeed? Would you help us as we take these elements, rejoice, rejoice and rejoice again what it means to be connected and hooked and joined with you for all of eternity? We love you, Lord. We thank you for the deep love that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.